Christina LaCure and Nate Olson. Yes? What's up?
It says this on ESPN. They're talking about Johnny Manziel's number one in the latest polls. We said he was number three.
Well, there's probably 15 different polls.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. ESPN has him number one in their Heisman Pundit Straw Poll. I got no problem with that at all. Yeah! Nate says no. We got Jimmy back here. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm doing well. Sorry I got disconnected. I'm down here in the hole in Paris, Arkansas.
Well, we appreciate you calling in. What's up?
Hey, I was calling about that Braden Smith. There's no chance of him coming to Arkansas.
I'm sure there's a chance. I'm just saying there's a lot of, you know, Alabama, A&M, everybody else is on him, too. I have no idea. I would think you could do yourself a lot worse than going to Arkansas if you're an offensive lineman that has hopes of playing in the NFL. I'm not sure what his thoughts are. I don't follow that real closely.
Yeah, I know he was, ironically, my brother and I, we both went to school with his dad, David Smith, over in Johnson, Kansas. So we're actually trying to call and, hey, dude, convince your boy to come be a Razorback. So. But he went to Bama in July and worked out with those guys, and he's narrowed it down to about five, and Bama was one of them. Georgia was another one, and I can't remember the other three.
I saw A&M, Arkansas, maybe another one or two, yeah.
Yeah. Man, that kid's good. If he's anything like his dad, he's a monster.
Yeah, well, I think he's a big kid. He's like 6'6", I think, so.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, we'll see, Jimmy.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I think offensive lineman will probably be – I would think it'd be a lot more fun to be a college offensive lineman that run blocks more than pass blocks.
Well, and you've seen that Bielema and their staff, they've already got some really good players coming in for 2014 that are linemen that have beat out some of these bigger schools. I don't know if they can beat out Bama and some of them, but because Pittman's such a good coach, because they run the ball, I think they're going to get some really good linemen. They may not get this guy, but they're going to get some good guys every year.
My buddy Craig is part of the problem with the delusional Arkansas fan base that also gets knocked on for its lack of education, because he says, I'm a huge Cowboys fan, and I'd take a dozen QBs over Tony Romo, and then he proceeds to list 11 quarterbacks. But that's okay. I know what you mean. He goes, Breeze, this is great. I love this. This is so funny. Breeze, Ryan, and I'm not even arguing with any of these. Breeze, Ryan, Manning, Rodgers, Stafford, Kaepernick, Wilson, Brady, Schaub, and Toothless Burger. Damn autocorrect, he says. Toothless Burger. So if you try to write Roethlisberger on your iPhone, apparently it autocorrects it to Toothless Burger. Because, look, nobody ever wants a burger with teeth in it, and that is a common phrase that, of course, it's going to autocorrect to. Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
Today is National Cheeseburger Day.
Is it?
It is.
Isn't every day National Cheeseburger
Should
Day,
be.
Nate?
Yes. Should
no,
be.
Today's official.
Today's officially National Hush Puppy Day, Crazy Mike's. Okay. It's all you can eat catfish after four. Nate, you guys have a, I don't want to call it scathing, but I mean, it's a pretty in-your-face story about some issues with Little Rock School District in high school football.
I think honest would be a good word
okay.
for it.
Okay. It's another way to go
yeah.
about it. Let's
honest and direct.
Sure.
You know, the background on it is, I you know, everybody knows that I've been really involved in covering high school football probably the last 7 or 8 years really heavily. And the big question that always got asked me, and it's not just from people in Little Rock, it's from people in Fayetteville that are worried about the recruiting for Arkansas. Why are there not more D1 players in Little Rock? Why are these teams struggling so bad? And, you know, I heard that and I heard it and I heard it. Not really in any kind of position to do anything. I looked at doing something a little bit. Well, then I came to Sync, and you know, if you've noticed over the last couple months, we've tried to put a few more meatier things in there, some more trend stories, some more profiles, and we still have our great entertainment music, and you're going to see hamburgers on the cover sometimes, things like that, restaurant
meatier.
Stuff.
You mean yeah. that literally. Christina doesn't like me, but she likes meatier stories in Sync Weekly.
Yeah. So, the trend kind of continued with this, and I sat down. Evan Demerle is a very, very talented freelancer here in Little Rock, mm-hmm. a guy that I have a lot of respect for. And so when I took the job, I sat down with him and I said, listen, I said, I think this is exactly what we need to run in this, to run in Sync. There was a slot open for a sports story in September. Not going to turn this into Sports Illustrated, but if you can pick your spots and kind of have a heavier, popular sports story in there that's not just like the traditional one, we're going to do it. So he agreed. He got on board, and he has worked his behind off for 2 months interviewing, going through numbers. And this was the end result. And I think it answers some questions. I don't think that you're ever going to come to the whoever solves that question would be, you know, probably a millionaire. I don't know what the exact answer is, and you could probably write another 6 pages on this subject. But I think we get to the heart of the matter, and there are some solutions that are mentioned. I think John Daniels, the athletic director, who was a coach at Hall, who saw kind of the dysfunction there with the coaches they've gone through, I think he has some pretty good ideas. And the one thing that he's going to do is he's going to start evaluating these coaches before it's been the principal or an athletic director liaison at the school. The problem has been principals each year have turned over. And so a new principal comes in, they see the football coaches struggling. Well, we just came in, we don't know what to do. And then they leave and another principal comes in. So the dysfunction continues and it's kind of a cycle. He's going to start to evaluate that and maybe get a different coach in there to straighten out the situation. But it is a very bleak prospect for a lot of those schools, or several of them. And I did a blog about Jay Fair. The thing that really hurts me is that, you know, this is about the kids. And you've got some kids at Jay Fair that the coaches are talking about that are come from that, that don't come from great homes. And then they go to practice and play in games and get beat badly. And if you play football, you know that when you lose 50-0, it hurts your heart, but it also hurts your body. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get dominated by a team, it takes a lot of guts to play football. Not everybody can play football. It takes a lot more guts to play on a team that's not very good, that you get beat up every week. And that's what's happening at Fair and McClellan. And
I wonder if there will come a time, Nate, where they combine some of these programs and do, you know.
That would be my suggestion.
To shrink the Little Rock school
district. I think academically it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, we don't even touch the academic part, but there's obviously some issues with academics at these schools. And I think everything probably would be better if you eliminated one of the schools, you combined the pool, and made some improvements to the buildings. I think there is plans for a new school. And closing one down and having that new school, I think, would be a start for everything.
Well, a couple of, you know, you guys did a great job of illustrating the budget issues and where the expenses are versus what the take is. And again, you're looking at, you know, this is strictly what the gate receipts are versus what the cost of the program is. Mm-hmm. But there is a huge out of whack number with JA Fair. I don't understand how they went from, like, I don't know, a $24,000 budget in 2011-12 to almost $60,000 in 12-13. So what's the deal there? Any idea?
I don't know that Evan really covered that a lot. I think it's something with more travel and everything. But what we did there was we just wanted to illustrate how much money, that's taxpayer money, that's going into these programs. So, you know, you're sending Jay Fair 2.5 hours down the road to play at Texarkana to get beat.
Oh, it says there's a $15,000 one-time fee for a weight training system.
Okay,
says. But
yeah.
Still, that's still a huge jump, and it's actually so much more, even minus the $15,000, than any other program in the state, or in the city, rather.
Yeah. Yeah,
weird.
Just wanted to illustrate those numbers, and again, just wanted to bring that to people's attention, because it had been asked to me over and over again, and I think there's some answers there. I think the other thing was that Johnny Johnson, the former AD who's now at Russellville, gave some really good insight by saying, if you're a parent and you're touring these schools, you're touring these facilities, and you go to McClellan, you go to Fair, they're not on par with some of the other programs, with North Little Rock, with Benton and Bryant. And Benton and Bryant have seen a lot of kids from Southwest Little Rock come across the county line and go there because they have brand new schools, they have brand new field house, they have brand new turf. And same thing's happening in North Little Rock. And that's a real sore subject with teacher coaches in Little Rock, is the number of players, basketball and football, they're going to North Little Rock. There's been allegations of recruiting. But my philosophy on that is I think your program recruits yourself, and what Brad Bowling has done, they're building a new stadium. They've given everybody Nike gear. Kids hear about that, and you don't have to go out and tell them, hey, come to North Little Rock. It happens on its own. Now, are they recruiting? I don't know. But I think at this point they don't have to.
I would agree with that. And it's, you know, it is. It would seem that there are definitely haves and have-nots, but you look all over the state, and it's the same case. I mean, so it's unfortunate. One of the other things, you have a column on J.A. Fair and specifically how they're fighting their battle.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it's a good read, and we'll get more into it, into what else is insane coming up in a second. But I do want to take a couple of calls because I know some folks want to weigh in on football issues. Everett.
Yes, sir. I was calling the man. I'm I was on my wife last night about this. I'm a Pee Wee football coach, AAU football coach, and man, it's ridiculous. It starts in middle school. Middle school, man. I went to watch my son last night at Horace Mann against Forest Heights. Man, they run such a basic, simple power I formation every play, left, right. Left, right, they don't spread it out. He told me that that's too complicated. Coach said that kind of stuff's too complicated. Mm-hmm. And to me, the AAA is hindering these kids because they don't allow. When I went to Cloverdale and played football, we had two-a-day practice. They don't even do two-a-day practice in middle school anymore because I guess AAA said it's too much or something. I don't know. The amount of hitting they do is reduced, man. I don't know. They just dummy. And the biggest thing for me is these coaches haven't even played football in their life. A lot of these coaches have never played football. You got coaches at middle school that never played football before or hadn't played football to a high school or college level. And then you out here coaching kids to play football, man. That don't add up to me.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous to me how they dumb it down the middle school football and allow the kids not to be aggressive with the practicing schedules and stuff like that. Man, it's just to me, it's almost a waste of time to have my kid out there playing football when all they're doing is the same basic little plays, mm-hmm. using the same 11 players. You don't substitute. You got 20 kids on the sideline, but yet you run the same 11 kids every play, and they coming on the sideline gassed. I'm like, man, even if they're not the best kids to fill in, at least put them in to have fresh legs on different plays. Learn how to use what you got, and they don't know how to do that, man. But that's my small 2 cents. I could give you a whole another 89 cents worth, but I know we don't have time.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it, Everett. It's frustrating. I hate to see it because, I mean, look, since I've been here 16 years or so, I mean, there have been a lot of great programs. I mean, J.A. Fair won a title when Cedric was there, right?
98.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously Central's won a couple.
Back-to-back in 03 and 04, and then you look at what happened there. At the end of Bernie Cox's tenure, two straight seasons winless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is, but it is. It's just sad. I hate it. Ron.
Hey, Nate kind of covered what I was going to talk about the transfer students. You know, at Malvern, back and forth, we've had a long history, you know, off and on with J.A. Fair. And I will say this, you know, the facilities are just not up to standard, but I will say this about Bear and their fans, and this goes back, they've had some really good basketball teams and some good football teams. When the product's there, they have awful good support.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're winning, yeah.
Thanks, Ron.
The other night I counted 10 people in the stands at North Pulaski. So that's the other thing that Charlie Johnson, the assistant coach I talked to, said. He's the head coach of basketball. He said when Cedric was there, you knew the parents. They were there. He said there's kids that have been in his program 4 years. He's never met their mom or dad. He doesn't know if they have a mom or dad.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
It's another issue, I mean, for sure. But, yeah, it's when you've got the limitations with numbers and you've got the limitation in support and you've got the limitations in money, and it is an expensive sport to put on.
Yeah.
You know, I think you got to get serious about trying to combine some of these programs. Mm-hmm. Scott's in Benton. Hi, Scott.
Hey, listen, guys. I'm real quick. I'm a teacher in the Little Rock School District. I teach math, and here's one of the main problems that nobody ever really wants to talk about. But I think what really hurts Little Rock athletics, especially football, is a few years back, the Little Rock School District implemented a system where we require more credits to graduate than most other high schools. So I think I want to say the number is 24 or 26, but you know, most high schools, I think Bryant's like 21 or 22 credits. And they did that in order to get some more, it looks good, you know, in order to get some more federal funding and whatnot. But what they did is they eliminated kind of the athletic period. Whereas in Bryant, if you play football, your last period of the day or your last block of the day is athletics. So you're in the field house by 2 o'clock, and at Hall, you're asking kids to go to class all four periods, get out at 3:45, go to practice, get dressed out. Hopefully, you're on the field by 4:30, and then no kids have cars, so they're forced to ride a bus home. Little Rock School District provides transportation, but the buses show up at 6, and they're a third-party contract. So if you're out on the bus at 6, then they're leaving.
Yeah, $300,000 they pay for that, for activity buses.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they have to.
Well,
See, I grew up in a public school, and we didn't have an athletic period, and we practiced afterwards, and yeah. We were done about 6, and yeah, I guess it was either. But again, when you don't have a lot of community involvement, like you're talking about, if parents aren't going to games, I'm guessing they're probably not going to pick kids up from practice very often.
You know what happened with me at my school is there'd be one or two guys or five guys that have vehicles, and you'd pile in there and give you a ride home.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that's not happening. That's part of it.
Yeah, so
I hate to hear that.
It's a sad thing, and we struggle to get teachers to to volunteer for concession stand and whatnot, like that. And in the Little Rock School District, they actually pay you, so I do the chain gang. They pay you a little bit per hour, and I get to go down there and see the games. But it's just so discouraging to see these students. And Hall, for instance, where I work, has 3 great athletes, and 2 of which I know have been looked at least by Harding and Wichita. Mm-hmm. But yet, the numbers are just so low, and they're mm-hmm. forced to play both ways against, our conference is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Hey, I appreciate it. I wish I had a solution. It's sad. I mean, that was a huge part of what I, growing up playing sports. I mean, I played everything I could play. And if my parents weren't involved, it would not have been nearly as much fun.
It's absolutely sad, though.
It is. You're somebody whose parents were heavily involved in your athletic career.
Absolutely.
Somebody who encouraged you and gave you an opportunity. And
I don't.
It's just
like
the support.
I don't feel like you have to be at every one of your children's games, but your heart breaks for those people. Like, you've seen it happen before where like someone will drop them off or someone will bring them. I work with kids nowadays with golf, and sometimes it's so sad to think that their parents, and probably not all of it is that they don't want to be there, they just financially can't be there.
Yeah, they have to be at work or whatever. Everybody's got responsibilities.
Well, it's hard.
When I was at that game, it hit me right in the heart. You see those kids out there, and they're really trying. I mean, they're playing hard. And they won. They snapped a 22-game losing streak. But you think, man, they're putting all this time in it. A lot of them have a lot of adversity they're dealing with at home. A 16 or 17-year-old kid shouldn't have to be worrying about where your next meal's coming from. Your parents are fighting, or you don't have parents, or whatever. Drugs, and then they're out on this football field, and a lot of negative stuff's happening.
Yeah.
And their coach was not there because of an incident that happened. So the head coach isn't there for the opener.
This is supposed to be
lots
their
of
escape.
Drama and adversity.
Exactly. Took the words out of my mouth.
This is their escape, and they're not having it.
Right.
What's up, Jason?
What's up, man? First off, I'd say I was part of the Bryant. I graduated '02, so I was playing football in '99, 2000, 2001. So before they won 3 games. I think they had never won, had a winning season since like 1988, only won in the last like 40 years. So it's always cool to think how much they've improved since '99. Before that, they were everybody's homecoming, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the guy called in and mentioned that he didn't. Coaches not ever play, in which I played college and high school. But does he not realize, like, some of the greatest coaches ever never played football? You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to play football to know.
No, but those are guys.
I'm not one of those.
No, but I mean, there are guys that have been around it. I mean,
yeah, Mike Leach didn't play at college or anything. He's one of the best offense minds in the
I know, but his point is fairly made, Jason. I think you're being a little too nitpicky about it. His point is he's. I mean, look, if you don't have somebody who hasn't been around, if those coaches haven't been around the game since junior high, that's an issue. And when there have been a lot of injury issues, people not being taught right. I mean, it's a national problem.
Well, you've got a guy that's a basketball coach by trade that's having to coach football because
it's part
of his contract.
Exactly. And it's better than not having the sport or not having anybody coach it. But there are some issues there because there is a real safety risk there with football that you don't have necessarily
And a development issue because at middle school, the high school coaches are they're banking on those guys getting them ready.
Jason, we got to run. I appreciate the call. We talk a lot about where recruits come from, too. This is a totally separate issue. I mean, we're talking about just getting kids involved.
Yeah.
But where recruits come from, always Texas, Florida, blah, 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 right? I didn't realize how great the disparity was. So I had some figures that were sent to me this week, and I was looking at the top states for FBS football recruits.
Mm-hmm.
Not all Division I, just FBS specific. Yeah. It is amazing, and we'll go through some of these numbers to finish out the hour.
Sure.
Christina also has to tell us about a charity event that she's going to be involved with. We'll mention that coming back as well. Del, hang on. We'll get to you in a sec, too.